I'm kind of embarrassed by this. Excuse me just a minute here. Hello? Yes? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, just a minute, please. Yeah. It's for you. It's the Lord Jesus Christ calling. And he says that it's a matter of life and death. Don't be surprised that he calls. You got his message, didn't you? When he said he would call? His message, in fact, is that he would call twice. Two calls that are matters of life and death. The message, take a look at it. It's in your Bible. It's that message that is spelled out in John 5, verses 25 to 29. Such an extremely important message that we're actually going to take the time to analyze it so that we'll understand it because, well, just because it is so very, very important. Jesus starts out by getting our attention, saying, as recorded in verse 25, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear him will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." Now, two calls. The first one, which Jesus gave this message about the call coming, is outlined in verses 25 to 27. In each of these calls, he details for us just the things we need to know. Have you ever gotten in your office one of those pink slips that says that someone called while you were out, and it says who it's to and who it's from, the time when the call came and whether or not the person would call back? All that information is here long ago, filled out just for us to have this important message. It starts out by telling us the time. But we need to know, first of all, that Jesus recognize that our minds tend to wander and we don't always see the importance of everything just the way it ought to be. You know how that goes. You know how when you're sitting at work sometimes you're busy about a project and then you find that your mind is 1,000 miles away? Or while sitting in church, has that ever happened to you where your mind kind of wanders off to what you're going to be doing on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, or a year from now, or a year ago? Or at home, or even when praying, how your mind wanders? Well, in conversation with people, lots of times, recognizing that we all do that, we have this business where before we say something really important, we first say a number of things to get the other guy's attention so that it'll be right with us when the important statement is made. So Jesus starts out by saying, "Truly, truly," are you listening? "Truly, truly, I say unto you," he wants to make sure that we are carefully listening to the important message that he is about to tell us. And then he talks about the time of the first call. He says, the time is coming. But then he kind of interrupts himself and says, no, the time now is, right now. Well, what Jesus wanted to do was draw a line of distinction between the first call and the second call. The first one being right now. The second one yet to come. I know lots of people who have gotten this first call. Wow, they get it at all different times and places. I've known people who have received this first call from Jesus Christ right during a church service, just as the phone rang here a few moments ago. And I know other people who have received the call from Jesus Christ at home while reading their Bibles. And other people who have gotten the call in the middle of the night, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I know people who have gotten the call from Jesus in a hospital room. I've known people that have gotten the call from Jesus Christ while flying in an airplane, all different times and all different places. The fact is that you never quite know when Jesus Christ is going to put through that first call. But one thing you do know, and that is that you'll never forget it. You'll never, ever forget. How could you? How could anyone ever forget a long-distance, person-to-person call to you from Jesus Christ? Amazing, spectacular. And the time, according to Jesus, for that first call is now. Actually, it can be just about any time. But then we have some other factors given to us, and that is to whom the call is directed. We're told in verse 25 that the call is to those who are spiritually dead. At first, that's not something that rubs us the right way. Not very complimentary at all. Can you imagine that you answer the telephone and it's a person-to-person call and, you know, you got to substitute your own name in here, but instead of the operator saying, "I have a person-to-person call for Mr. John Doe," saying, "I have a person-to-person call for the dead John Doe." How do you respond to something like that? But that's exactly what Jesus is saying. That first call comes to those who are spiritually dead. As the Word of God says in Ephesians 2:1, we are all dead in our trespasses and sins. In our relationship to God, we are as dead spiritually as is someone dead physically who's been in a coffin and buried in the ground for 150 years. Completely dead. Unable to in any way contribute to our own spiritual life. So obviously what we need is some supernatural, spectacular power. Someone from the outside who has the control of life and death. And that's exactly what this message tells us. That God the Father has given to Jesus Christ his Son that power, that authority of life and of death. So Jesus Christ, when he calls, he is the one who is able to call even those who are spiritually dead and bring us back to life again. Without Jesus Christ, every single person in the world is spiritually dead. And our only hope for life instead of death is a call to life from Jesus Christ, to which we respond positively. Well, we can see then why it's obviously so important when we receive a call from him. We can see why, obviously, it's a matter of life and of death. Now, the purpose of the call ties in, of course, as well. The purpose is eternal life. That's why Jesus Christ calls. In fact, his whole life and ministry, everything about him, is a matter of life and death for us. But what he wants is to give to us that spiritual eternal life. So it goes something like this. We answer the call, and Jesus Christ says, "I'm just calling to let you know that I love you. I've always loved you." Oh, sure, there have been times when you've wondered if I loved you, and there have been times when you have behaved in a way that really was not very provocative for me to want to love you. But I've loved you just the same. In fact, and Jesus goes on in his conversation, in fact, I love you so much that that's exactly why I left the courts of heaven and came all the way down to earth, took on the form of human flesh, and was because I loved you and wanted to give you eternal life that I died on the cross. That's why I was buried. That's why I rose again. That's why I'm calling. Because I want to give to you eternal life. What do you say? How do you respond to my call? Are you willing? Do you accept my offer? I want a feedback. I want an answer. I want a response. And so the conversation of Jesus goes. And to those who hear, and to those who positively respond, Jesus Christ gives the gift of eternal life, and they are eternal winners. They quit dying, and they start living. They have the eternal life of God, which includes salvation now from sin and the power to live a victorious and a good life from now on always. What an important call that is. That reminds me of a newspaper article I read back in the 60s of a telephone call that came to the hostess at a Washington, D.C. cocktail party. In the midst of this cocktail party, the phone rang, the hostess answered the phone, and it was for a government official that was at the party. And so she went and she got him and she said, "I have a call for you. The person says it's very important. They need to talk to you." He said, "You tell whoever is calling that I'm busy and that he can call me back on Monday morning when I have office hours." And so the hostess did as she was instructed. She went back, and the person on the other end she discovered was Lyndon Johnson. And he said, "And you tell him that the President of the United States called, and I'll be busy on Monday morning." Well, can you imagine that here a government official missed out on, because of busyness or party, what probably was the most significant call that he received in his entire career? But a call from the President of the United States, by comparison, is really nothing to a call from Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But can you imagine? It's unthinkable. It's unimaginable that when Jesus Christ extends that first call, there are people who actually say, "Tell him I'm busy, call back later. Tell him to call after the party's over. I'm having too good a time. Tell him that I keep regular office hours and I have that on my to-do list for next week on Monday, and he can call back then and I'll work it into the agenda for the week. Tell him to call back at another time." And the response of Jesus Christ is, "I will call back at another time." In fact, that's the other part of the message in verses 28 and 29, that there will be a second call. But the second call is quite different from the first call. And again, we analyze and we compare because Jesus lays it out in such clear-cut terms. He starts out by saying in verse 28, "Now I'm going to tell you something that's marvelous, amazing, eye-catching, thought-provoking. But don't get so hung up in the amazing thing I'm going to say. Don't marvel at that to the point that you really miss the main point of what I want to say. All right? Let me tell you first of all about the time. The time of the first call was now. The time of the second call is future." And so the message says in verse 28, "The hour is coming." Now we're told about this second call numerous other places in the Word of God. We're told that the second call will come at the end of the era or the age in which we live. It will be at the end of time as we now count and reckon it. And that it will be a call that in a sense will have two parts, or at least an order of things about it. The first part of the second call is named the first resurrection. And the second part of the second call is the second resurrection. Maybe that seems a little bit confusing to us, but perhaps an analogy would help. Think of a company that has put out for bid 50 contracts, and there are 500 bidders. And the agent or the officer of the company has promised that on some unspecified date within a relatively near time in the future, he will make the decision on which contracts will be awarded to whom, and that he will then telephone every single one of the 500 bidders and let them know the results of the bidding. But what he does, and of course it takes him so long to make all those telephone calls, is he starts out by first calling those who have won the contracts, and then later on, after he has finished that list, moving on to those who have lost the contracts. In a basic time frame, but distinguishing between the first calls and the second calls. Now, Jesus Christ promises that he will extend a second great, very important life and death call, but that it will be divided into two parts. First to the winners, second to the losers. The first resurrection, the second resurrection. At an unknown future date, Jesus Christ will call again. To whom will this call go? As the first call went to the spiritually dead, the second call goes to the physically dead. Very careful terminology is used in these verses to distinguish. You notice that the second call, look at verse 28 of the message from the Lord, the second call will go to all who are in the tombs. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine extending a call over the telephone or by voice or by any other means to someone who is dead, physically dead, to someone who has been dead for years, maybe century, maybe millennia? Now that is either the nth degree of foolishness or an exhibition of supernatural power and confidence. And it is the latter, to be sure. Jesus Christ will extend a call to all people of all time, everyone who has lived and died. A call to the physically dead. And he will call them back to life. Back to physical life. Someone might say, "Now wait a minute, what about someone who died 98 years ago in an explosion? And their physical body was literally just torn apart, lost. Do you want to tell me that person will come back to physical life with that body? According to 1 Corinthians 15, there will be a literal physical resurrection. There will be numerous similarities between the resurrection body and the previous physical body. And yet there will also be numerous differences. The comparison is made between a seed and a full-grown plant. A definite relationship, a definite recognizability, but also a definite difference. But the point is that Jesus Christ has the power of life and death. God the Father has given it to him. So yes, indeed, he will call back to physical life all who ever have died. All. Whether they've died by explosion or in a fire or by drowning or by natural causes, whether they've been dead and buried for a matter of moments or for a matter of millennia. Jesus Christ will extend that call to all who are physically dead. This time, there will be no rejections. This time, no one will say no to his call. This second call, Jesus will not be put on hold. Everybody will be raised. It will be absolutely miraculous. The question is often asked nowadays, it's been asked always, is there life after death? The answer is a resounding yes. But if we want to be really precise in our terminology, we would better say there is existence and consciousness after death. Because that life after death is distinctly divided into two categories. One can be described as living and the other can be described as dying. It's existence after death. One is living for eternity, the other is dying for eternity. And that's what the purpose of the second call is all about. It is judgment. It's distinguishing between those who will live forever and those who will die forever. The first call was to give eternal life, and the second call is for judgment and for destiny in all of eternity. Jesus Christ is the designated judge, designated by God the Father. It is he who then will sit upon that judgment throne and make the eternal judgment for everyone, to eternal life, to eternal death. The basis of his judgment at the time of that second call will be our response to his first call, so that those who responded positively to Jesus' first call will then, at his second call, be destined to eternal life. And by very sharp contrast, those who responded negatively to his first call will, at his second call, be judged and destined to eternal death. Now, I want you to be very careful. We all must be very careful not to be misled to a point of misunderstanding in that 29th verse. Because when we first read what this message says, it looks as if the judgment will be made on the basis of good works or evil works. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Perhaps it here seems that there is a contradiction within Scripture, that this is inconsistent with that which has been taught elsewhere, that salvation is by the grace of God and not by works. Perhaps it seems that God will at this point, through his Son, say those are the people who have done the most good and those are the people who have done the most evil, and that will be the determining point of destiny. Not so. You see, there is a distinction here between cause and effect. Imagine with me for a moment a physician who walks into a large hospital ward and announces for everyone to hear, those who can walk may go home, and those who cannot walk must stay here. Now, at first listen, we might think that the physician is making his judgment primarily on the basis of who can walk and who cannot walk. But that's only effect. That's not cause. When we dig more deeply, we discover that that physician has operated on a number of those patients, and all the patients on whom he has operated are now able to walk. And those who have not consented to the operation, or those who have not had the operation, they are unable to walk. So as far as cause is concerned, the distinguishing factor is whether or not they have consented and been operated on, or not consented and not been operated on. As far as effect is concerned, for practically distinguishing between which is which, the physician says those who walk may leave, those who cannot walk must stay. And so it is at the time of that second call, when Jesus Christ, the judge, the designated judge by God the Father, distinguishes between forever with God in eternal life or forever without God in eternal death. The cause for judgment will be the answer to the first call, invitation to faith in Jesus Christ. The effect, the practical way of distinguishing, is that those who have responded positively to the first call, like any type of tree, will produce that type of fruit. And that type of fruit is good works. And those who have not responded will have the fruit of their tree, their lack of faith, their continuing in the death and the trespasses of sin. And that is evil works. Let's see if we can summarize all of this. The message is that Jesus Christ calls twice. The first call is now. It is to all who are spiritually dead, and the purpose is to call us to eternal life. The second call, it will come. Inevitably, it will come. The first call is yet future for us all. The first call will then be to all who have become physically dead at some point in past time. The second call will be a call to judgment, distinguishing who will spend eternity with God and who will spend eternity without God. Now, certainly, once we've read this, once we've understood the message, once we've taken a good hard look at it, we can see its tremendous importance. We can see how very vital it is, how we respond to that first call. Which reminds me, we left that call. We left the Lord Jesus Christ waiting on hold. And so we come back, and of course, the call is still for you. And he still waits. And he still asks, what is your response to my call now? To you who are spiritually dead. Do you say yea or nay to my call to eternal life? Let's stand to pray. Father, we take most seriously the calls that come from your Son. And we know now that the answer to that first call will set the stage for the destiny to be determined at that second call. Father, I pray right now for any who hear this morning, now for perhaps the first time, or at least now for the first time really listening, have heard the call of Jesus Christ to eternal life, that the answer will unquestionably be yes, and that they in their hearts and lives and minds will commit themselves to your Son and receive his matchless gift. Lord, for those who perhaps days or decades ago said yes to that first call, my prayer is that that day shall never be forgotten, and that all life shall be lived as eternal life through the power of your Son. Lord, my prayer is that someday all of us who here are in this room this morning will hear that second call, and that together the judgment of your Son will be yes, they all received eternal life back when I called them way back then. And so, on the basis of their faith and trust in Jesus Christ then, I now judge and destine them to eternal life in heaven with me and with my Father. Lord, I pray that from now until that day, our positive response to your first call to salvation and eternal life will be obviously evidenced in the good works which we perform, the fruit of the eternal life which you give to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.